Our text is chapter 12 of Ecclesiastes, specifically verse 5. Let's read some portions of these verses, and then we'll read verse 5, okay?
Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. In the day when the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Also when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way.
Fear shall be in the way. Dear Holy Father, thank you for the Holy Bible. Thank you for preserving your word. Lord, we do pray you'll speak to us today. Thank you for your goodness, your grace, your salvation. And Lord, we do pray today you'll speak with us. And that, Lord, you will use me, the preaching of thy word, in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. We've made our way down now to verse 5. When they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way. We're talking about balance. We're talking about balance. The Bible's saying, use your youth. And as I say every week, as we've been preaching, today you're younger than you will be tomorrow. So take advantage of today and use it, no matter what age you are. 20, 30, 40, 50, 90, 100, 110. Let's take advantage of every day we have. Now, we see that as decay sets in, the law of entropy, your grinder cease, your eyes become dim, your hearing begins to fail. And we learned that in verse 5, there's some fears and anxiety about heights and walking in the way because of falling. Because of falling. The Bible speaks a lot about balance. In the Bible, balance was a scale. Commerce. And we certainly have false balance today, which the Bible says is an abomination. Perilous times shall come. It's time we get ready for famine. Get ready for all the things the Bible predicted would come in these last days. Prepare right now. Prepare right now. But I want to concentrate today. Fears of heights. The Bible's not saying just go be unreasonable and ridiculous when it comes to heights and risking your life. The devil, God, when the devil tempted the Lord Jesus, he didn't just jump off and ask God to catch him. You know, he had caution and that type of thing, and he was God himself in the flesh. But there is a fear of heights and a fear of walking in the way that is common in old age because falls can be deadly. And we want to look at this now from a physical as well as a spiritual and prophetic application. We see in this not only a man growing older and God saying, before the grave comes, do what you're going to do for God and take advantage of your life. And we've seen also, we ought to use the Bible and the things He's given to renew our youth and preserve the strength that we have as long as we can. But as we see a prophecy also in this, that this age will draw nigh to a close. And He says in a previous verse that we did not read, that the sun will be darkened. The moon will be darkened. The stars will be darkened. Certainly in regard to the individual elderly person, perhaps. It says Moses' eye was not darkened, but it is a general truth that we lose our strength, whether it's eye, ear, balance, our bones, our hearing. But as you see the sun darken, we can also see this age drawing to a close. We can see that as we see strange things happening in the sky and this world falling apart and God beginning to judge, there's a time when God's people will be weaker spiritually. There will be a great falling away. There will be stumbling all around you spiritually. The Bible says they'll not endure sound doctrine. The Bible says they'll be tossed to and fro. There'll be no stability. They'll be unstable as water, raging waves of the sea, says the Bible. You see people, they're here, they're gone, they're over here, they're over there, they're unstable. You can't trust them. They're not loyal. They're not loyal to God. And in the midst of all of this, they shall be afraid of that which is hot. Not only a physical weakness in the last days. People are growing weaker, as we've seen. But there's going to be a time, and I think we're in it now, when irrational and sinful fears will abound. They'll have little fear of God, but yet they're afraid of that which is high. And we're going to take a look and see what this means. Let's go ahead and begin with the physical right now. Due to time, we won't be able to look a whole lot in regard to these physical things, and I would like to, but I want to move on to the more important spiritual applications. So just briefly looking at some of this, in regard to preserving our balance, preserving our coordination, of course, it has to do with the bones that the Bible already says begin to decay, and we need to preserve our bone strength. But it sounds paradoxical, but there needs to be great care. But actually, the fear of falling, which is useful to protect you, can lead to older people becoming less active. And when they become less active, then they begin to lose their balance in things. So that's a problem. You don't want to get out here and hurt yourself, because it could be very, very serious, but yet a rock in a hard place. The more active you are, these exercises and movements that preserve your balance keeps you from falling. So there needs to be an activity, a careful activity, but continuing to, they talk about dancing and how that preserves in old age your balance in an amazing way. And there's just things that we need to do to continue to preserve that balance. Now, I want you to keep this idea of balance in your mind, because I believe what it's saying is in the last days in God's churches, there's not going to be any balance. So people are afraid to be balanced. You're going to have extremes over here and extremes over there. Nobody can balance between two sides of things. See? And it's so important doctrinally to say, well, there's the left, there's the right. I see the two extremes, and I need to find out the Bible way. And it doesn't mean be moderate in everything, but it does mean that you need to find God's balance, and that is something that people can't find. They're either on one side or the other today of all these different doctrines, and they can't seem to find the biblical balance. Does God love everyone? Does God hate everybody? You can't find the balance theologically of what God says. Do you lose your salvation? Is there no punishment? All of these things need to be balanced, and I could preach on that for a long time, but I'm not going to do it. This lack of balance creates fools who are quiet in the gate.
Amen.
Unless they're the worst of fools. Now, after exercise in old age, moving and staying active and exercising and practicing your coordination, the Bible says don't look at the wine. The Bible doesn't say drink moderately alcohol. The Bible says look not at the wine. Don't look at it. The Bible doesn't say just be moderate in adultery. It says don't even go near her house. See? Alcohol is poison. And I want you to understand that when you drink alcohol, it says, yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. What is he saying? He's saying, you're gonna go like this. That's not only the hangover you're gonna have the next day, but I believe that's how you walk. You're unstable in your walk, see.
Right.
And when people begin to grow old and they're drinking alcohol, they're falling all over the place. They're losing. The brain cells are being destroyed. Their whole sense of balance. And this is a horrible thing. A horrible thing. Let's avoid the wine of this world, spiritual and physical. Because if you drink the propaganda out here of this age, you're going to be unstable in everything. If you get out here and try to listen to preaching from the Bible, and then you want to listen to a whole bunch of worldly stuff and listen to worldly ideas, you're going to be unstable. A double-minded man's unstable in all his ways. He can't walk straight. And people say, well, I go to church, I listen to the Bible, I listen to preaching, I read the Bible. How come I can't walk straight? Because you're double-minded. You've got this worldly influence coming in, and you can't walk straight like that. Two can't walk together unless they be agreed. You're getting two different currents coming at you, and you're trying to walk straight. And that's why you can't do anything for God. Walk straight. They're finding out some new things about this wicked alcohol. We know it's an endocrine disruptor. They knew that from ancient times and ancient Greece. They knew the more a woman drinks alcohol, the more her voice gets low in an unnatural way, and the more she starts becoming masculine. And a man, actually, it's not manly to drink alcohol, folks. That's not, I know everybody said, because that's propaganda, that's commercial advertising that sold that to you, that it's somehow manly to go drink. It's not manly. It actually turns you in. It feminizes you. It disrupts your hormones. Do you understand that? But here's something new they're finding out. The old adage claiming alcohol goes straight to the head is actually true, according to new research that just came out. Scientists say booze breaks down in the brain rather than the liver. The finding turns previous theories upside down. The study sheds fresh light on why people can get tipsy only after one or two drinks. The response can trigger unsteadiness, slurred speech, and slower reaction time. The study published in Nature Metabolism. So it goes right to your brain, and it causes imbalance. It causes imbalance. And God forbid. The Bible says, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. You know what? Being filled with the Spirit brings balance, doesn't it? Being filled with God's Spirit brings balance to your whole life. Praise God. And so anything that's not of God's Spirit is pictured by this alcohol, this wine, that causes imbalance. Now, while you're looking at poison in a bottle, we might want to look at much of Big Pharma. Much of Big Pharma. Because this just came out the other day. Health Day News says nearly all seniors take meds that raise their odds of falling. You go to the doctor and they say, okay, give me all 30 of the pills that you're on. You say, I'm not on any pills. You know, if you're an elderly person. And they'll be in shock. What do you mean? How did you escape? You're supposed to be on 30 or 40 things that we're giving you. Well, nearly everything they give you raises your odds of falling. 2 decades ago, almost 57% of U.S. seniors took medications that increased their risk of falling. By 2017, that number had risen to 94%. And death caused by falls had more than doubled in new studies. I mean, you're concerned about the COVID virus and things, you know, the 1% of dying and that type of thing, less than one. Why in the world aren't you concerned about this? Why aren't you concerned about the side effects from medication and find more natural ways that have better, in many cases, better healing, but less destruction, less side effects? Oh, there's no money. There's no money compared to the billions you can make by Big Pharma, see? That's why you got controlled monopoly over medicine today. You better watch those things. You better look and say, what are the side effects of this that I'm taking? It's not really a side effect. It's the effect.
Yeah.
So we call it side effect. It's the effect.
Right.
You say, well, it helped me with this one thing. I know, but what's it cursing over here?
Right.
Study those things, folks. Study those things. Get informed about it. Get informed. Now, for your balance, It's very important that you have good nutrition, which people are not getting today. And you can't just pop up the average multivitamin that's not whole food based. You really need to study nutrition and antioxidants that help your brain are so important. Here's something they found out. The Journal of Physical Therapeutic Science says the relation between vitamin D and postural balance. According to our findings, the anti-fall effect of vitamin D is supported by the results of the clinical balance test. They're inconsistent with previous observations. In many studies on elderly people, a clear relation here between vitamin D deficiency and postural instability has been demonstrated. Now, they're trying to backtrack on this right now. But we know vitamin D helps your bones because it helps you absorb your calcium and all of those types of things. So definitely get your cod liver oil and that type of thing. It's good for everybody. Everybody needs to eat right. Well, everybody's so concerned about masking and social distancing and closing down the whole structure. But nobody wants to talk about your immune system. I don't understand why Christians don't. Why don't you, if you're going to pay money, God says, why do you buy bread that's not food? Why do you spend money on something? You say, well, it's a few dollars cheaper. Is it really cheaper to get sick and get bacterial infections all over? Don't you want to eat? Well, what messes up your immune system? Pesticides, antibiotics, hormones, all of these things. Why don't you buy food so you can be well? I don't understand it. I really don't. I don't understand. I'm saving $5 this month. Okay. All right. Go ahead. Let's see, where are we at now? I'm going to explore right now the spiritual and prophetic side of all of this. People, as we said, are losing their balance with spiritual things. And I could do many sermons just on this part, how we're losing our balance. There's something in regard to the elderly called balance confidence. And they're studying this in detail today in regard to the elderly. Is there not a fear of that which is high today in our churches? And is it not due, follow me now, to a lack of balance confidence? See, I believe we ought to train children from a young age how to balance things, how to balance ideas.
Amen.
And is there, they're learning how to reason. They're learning how to discern. They're learning how to weigh things and judge things and balance things. There's no confidence. People are 18, 19, 20 years old. They don't know how to balance anything. They don't know how to think. They don't know how to reason. The study of music is important. All of these things are important to teach you balance. See? Whatever picture you want to use, we need to study balance and teach people, teach our children balance. Because we don't have it today. There's a fear of things which are high. Now, there is a point where you should not exercise yourselves in things that are beyond your reach that God has made off limits. It says in Psalms 131, Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty. Neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. You know, the Bible's not saying be a fool and get out here in the realm that God never equipped us or intended for us to be in. It says in Psalms 139, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. There are things we cannot attain to that God has revealed in the Bible. And that's the only way you can attain to them. But even the things that are revealed, the Bible's given us everything we need, but He hasn't given us everything. Do you understand that? He's given you everything that pertains to life and godliness, but He hasn't given you everything. So we see through a glass darkly.
Right.
And to try to see things that aren't meant for us to see in this age is just foolishness. It's just pure foolishness. And that's where they go off and say, but if I talk to some devil or spirit, then they'll show me the secret things. And boy, you're just off. You're out of here now. The Bible said that they will turn from the faith, from the Bible, to doctrines of devils in the last days. That's sad.
But there are things that aren't revealed, and God expects us to study and hear and learn and grow those things. And just because they're high, you ought to be understanding them when it's time in your growth to understand them, and you ought to be defending them and teaching them to others. But you know what I found today? There is an arrogant cynicism. Very strange. Arrogant cynicism. Maybe it's the same old despising that we see in David's older brother. When David came out and he carried the cheese and things, and his older brother said, basically paraphrasing, what are you doing here? Why did you leave those sheep? And, who do you think you are? You just came out to see the battle. And a lot of times, if you try to defend God's truth, and you try to say, you know what, I have an answer to this, and I believe it's from the Word of God, and I've studied it, then you're looked at with disgust and disdain. Who do you think you are? You can't understand these things. Look at what all the experts say. And there's this cynicism about understanding the Bible. There is a cynicism about just using your mind and not following commercial, finance, mandated propaganda. The older brothers of Joseph, he had revelations, he had an understanding, but he was despised by his brother. There is a cynicism. That can't be true. If it was true, God would not have showed it to you, he would have showed it to me. That's the idea, see? That's the idea. I would be wrong then. If this is true, it means that I've been wrong for a certain amount of years, and that's impossible.
Right.
Your balance confidence must be in vain. Now, if the error of the previous generation was to think they had all the answers, and that's what people claim. And if they were too dogmatic in some things, that's what's claimed. And certainly there were cases. The modern error is a rebellious agnosticism. It's a strange self-doubt. It reminds me of an old hippie blowing smoke from a marijuana bong. He's got shattered dreams and a loss of testosterone due to years of endocrine disruption and fried brain cells, especially those that pertain to memory. He sits on his royal throne, his worn-out couch, where he smokes his pot, eats his junk food, and he's a slave to his TV, computer screen addiction. And with a pompous scorn, he rails on anybody that says they have the answers. He can critique. He has a smart mouth critique for any little thing you say. But when it comes to this black book,
right,
when it comes to faith and that old Bible, years of fallen televangelists linked with trained media propaganda that taught him what to say and what to scorn. Public school humanism and Hollywood humanism. They destroy faith in these scriptures. And it has produced arrogant cynics that scorn. What did the Bible say? They're going to be scorners in the last days. Mockers and scorners. In between their marijuana hits. This new generation is in some ways like that old, faded, jaded hippie. You know what this new generation says? I don't know. Well, what do you think about such and such? I don't know. I don't know and I don't care. I'm nihilistic. I have no hope and I don't care. I don't know what I believe and I don't care. And neither do you. Nobody knows. And there's no way you would know before me. They've given a name. It's really just postmodernism, but there's a name for the emerging church. That was at least what they called themselves. They never really even called themselves that, but some of them did. But whatever name you want to give it, call it the new emerging church, whatever. You had a generation of former new evangelicals. After the granddaddies and fathers, the fundamentalists, died off, the new sons and grandsons took over. And they began, as these new evangelicals, they began to say, I believe many things that my father and grandfather believed. I just don't fight for them like they do. Maybe I'm not as dogmatic as they are about these things. But now we got a new generation this new generation whose fathers were the new evangelicals that said, I don't fight for anything. I still believe a lot that my father believed. I just don't fight for it. You have a new generation now that says, I don't know what I believe. Does it matter? Does it matter? One old aging hippie who sang satanic heavy metal lyrics and tried to be as shocking as he could to make money as a businessman, he had lyrics that helped bring the cynicism to millions of my generation. Ozzy song. He has a song, and this was the mantra of my generation, at least among the dope smoking, etc. people. And here's what he says, but look behind all of it, and let's look at what he's telling a generation of young people, see. He's telling them, people look to me and say, is the end near? When is the final day? This is what they're smoking pot to in their CD, in their cars, in their cassette tape, and they're riding around all over the place, and they got this old as they do their drugs. Is he in there? When's the final day? What's the future of mankind? How do I know? I got left behind. Don't look at me for answers. Don't ask me. I don't know. What's the future of mankind? How do I know? I got left behind. I'm lost. That's amazing. We've gone from people trying to figure out what's right, what's wrong, to a generation that says, I don't know, and I don't care. And you don't know either. Who cares about it? We're all lost. You know what's interesting in all of this? Who was it, George Bush, that invited Ozzy to the White House or something for dinner? I can't remember, probably. It's insane. His wife just got canceled. What? The heavy metal fella, his wife just got canceled by the liberals? Wow, things are bad. If Ozzy Osbourne's wife got canceled by the liberals, things are really, really bad, folks. It's so bad. How bad is it? It's so bad that Piers Morgan got canceled. The liberals are canceling the liberals. Piers Morgan, gun-hating Piers Morgan, says, the silent majority hate the tyranny of woke. He says, well, there's a lot of us out here that hate all of this. We're just silent. Silent majority. They're just afraid. There's great terror out here now. Even among the liberals, nobody wants to get canceled. Wow. What does this produce, folks? It produces the sound of silence. Because nobody wants to say anything now. That's why the title of my message is, Who Will Stand? The Sound of Silence. The Sound of Silence. Now, this cynicism that developed post-60s, it wasn't just in the heavy metal world. In country music, Waylon Jennings sang, he had one song talking to a preacher, said God was on his side, talking to a butcher. They both were selling hides. See, the idea is, whether you're country music, wherever you're at, that everybody's in it just for the money. So there is no truth. And sadly, many of these TV preachers gave them something to sing about, right? Gave them something to sing about. But he says, in my own way, this is a country song people drive around in their pickup truck. And it says, in my own way, I'm a believer. I don't talk too much about it. My faith has never been that strong. There's a man in that old building. He's a holy man, they say. He keeps talking about tomorrow while I keep struggling with today. I do believe in a higher power. That's in a song. It sounds almost the same as what the heavy metal fella was singing about. It's just for a different crowd of people. See, they're singing the same thing. Same idea. Cynicism. One good thing, thankfully his wife claims that before he died, she led him to Christ, and he said, yes, I did want to believe. He was very cynical his whole life, and supposedly he believed upon the Lord. And I hope that's true. But this new generation of so-called Christians and churches, they've adopted what you might call a nailing jello to the wall attitude about everything. Everything is just agnostic, shallow. Baptist Press tried to expose this. McLaren is one of the leaders, or used to be. He is the founding pastor of Cedar Ridge Community Church near Baltimore, Maryland, and he was listed as one of 25 influential evangelicals by Time Magazine. If Time Magazine lists you as an influential evangelical, then you know you're part of the bad system. You're part of the propaganda. He said that he rejects the label movement to describe the emerging church. In contrast to the cultural imperialism demonstrated by believers in the past, McLaren believes that Christians should present Christianity through loving attitudes rather than logical arguments. In this postmodern world, reason is gone. Thinking is gone. In fact, it's called racist. In fact, it's called imperialism. You're not supposed to think. You're not supposed to be logical about anything. And whatever you do, don't use the word to try to lead somebody to Christ. It's all about love. And I believe you ought to love people. And one way you love them is, if they're about to go off a cliff, tell them they're about to go off a cliff. Don't give them a cupcake. If they're about to go to hell, teach them about it. Teach them the death of our Savior for remission of sin.
Amen.
Teach them the gospel. Right. Give them the word. It's the word that regenerates.
Right.
So definitely live a life of love and adorn that gospel. But don't replace the gospel with being nice to people.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. Loving attitudes rather than logical arguments. Those of us in the West now realize that there were a lot of bad consequences of European and American people trying to tell everybody else how things are, he said. Yeah, we were just so wrong about that. And so, you know, really you just need to go smoke pot in your teepee and then see your granddad come back as a coyote and talk to him. In other words, see this idea, what you're to understand? Everything that the West did is bad, and you try to reason with people. And we should have left this paganism and not meddled with it, see. We're living in a pagan culture today, folks. When it comes to issues such as the exclusivity of the gospel, the identity of Jesus Christ as both fully human and fully divine, the authoritative character of Scripture as written revelation, and the clear teaching of Scripture concerning issues such as homosexuality, this movement simply refuses to answer the questions. Muller writes, McLaren declined to give his opinion on the morality of homosexuality. The worldview of postmodernism denies the possibility of or need for propositional truth. In other words, we don't need anything authoritative. We don't need thus saith the Lord. We don't need God's statement about what an abomination is. That it's an abomination for a man to lie with man, etc. See, what they want is this sloppy, agnostic, I don't have to commit to anything. It's that Joel Osteen, what do you believe about this? Oh, I don't know. You know, what does it matter? The Babylonian Bee, which kind of mocks modern culture, says, progressive Christians believe everything about God except that Bible stuff. When you see that, I didn't realize it was Babylonian Bee. I thought for sure it's one of these Christian rockers or a new scholar. But of course they're making a joke because that's really what they're saying. Is I believe everything except the stuff of the Bible. I'm a modern Christian. We don't believe the Bible. That's what a pastor of a homosexual church told me. He says, we worship Jesus, but not of the Bible. My Jesus is in heaven. Well, my Jesus is in heaven too, but he gave me his word in the Bible. Yeah. What does it mean to stand high? I don't mean like a hippie smoking pot. I mean, what does it mean to stand high from a Bible way? Because it says in the last days they're going to be afraid of that which is high. So what does it mean to stand high? Whatever it means, they're not going to be doing it in the last days. They're not going to be doing it. How about Habakkuk? The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hind feet, and he will make me to walk upon my high places. Well, there was a book, Hannah Hennard, I believe. I wrote her in the elderly home, and she had a husband who wrote a lot of things about the coming kingdom of God, and he was a very theological fellow, if I remember correctly. But notice what this says. He will make me to walk upon my high places, just like one of those deers or goats that are able to get up on the rocky mountaintops in an amazing way. God will make my feet like this, and he will make me walk upon my high places. What does that mean? What does that mean? Well, what does it mean to get up there on the high places and be able to walk like that? What does that mean theologically? Obviously, to be able to understand some things that people don't understand, to be able to balance them, to balance some high things. But when you look in 2 Samuel, it says, he sent from above. That means he's calling you up. He took me. That's a picture of the coming rapture, to be ready for that. He drew me out of many waters. That's persecution. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me upon my high places. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, so my feet did not slip. All right? So we're walking in godliness and uprightness in the face of a world that says compromise. Compromise. Oh, it gets harder and harder to be straight and narrow, doesn't it? Because of fear. They're telling you it's afraid. You better not dare. Oh, I tell you, you better not walk in the truth that God has given you. You better compromise your standards. And it gets hard to walk. It gets hard to walk the straight and narrow, doesn't it? You get persecuted. You get scorned. That bringeth me forth from my enemies. Thou hast also lifted me up on high above them that rose up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Well, that's a picture of God's deliverance that's coming, where he calls up the watchful ones that are in the way of the devil, and he calls you up from your enemy. But in life right now, he gives you victories now to where it looks bad. It looks bad, and people are mocking you and scorning you, and you're down, and then God exalts you in due time and gives you power over those that have scorned you. Oh, praise God for that. Therefore, I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen. I will sing praises unto thy name. What about this? 2 Chronicles 20. The Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord sent ambushes against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir. I believe what this is all saying is they're going to be afraid in the last days to praise God. They're going to be afraid to praise the God of the Bible. They're going to be afraid to praise and celebrate and proclaim his truth. They're going to be afraid to show that I'm not ashamed to obey Jesus in these last days and be what he wants me to be as a man or as a woman. I'm not ashamed of it. And I'm going to tell you, they're not going to get the victory. They're not going to get the victory. You're going to have a weak church in the last days. Weak churches, weak faith, weak expectations. They're going to be weak in their spiritual battles. Psalms 149, let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. They're weak in warfare. Weak in spiritual warfare. No balance. And that's really what spiritual warfare is about, because the devil wants you to go this way or that way. You'll be tossed to and fro, and they're not able to stand. What does it say in Ephesians 6? Stand. Oh, you got to stand. And after you stand, stand in the power of his might. We're not talking about pagan high places. We're talking about God exalting you and giving you victory over your enemies and helping you walk straight in the midst of a scorning world. But let's look at this a little clearer, a little closer now. Proverbs 8. They're going to be afraid of high places in the last days. They're not going to be able to walk in the high places. They're not going to be able to stand in the high places. Proverbs 8 says, does not wisdom cry and understanding put forth her voice? Does wisdom have a mask on her face? Is wisdom silent? Wisdom a picture of the virtuous woman? Is she silent? No. She puts forth her voice. Now, if you're walking in the Holy Spirit,
Are you walking in the spirit of foolishness, or are we walking in the spirit of understanding? We're walking in the spirit of understanding. Amen. The Holy Spirit is going to put forth His voice in you. Said Paul, filled with the Spirit. And then you see Him open His mouth. And you see Him teach and rebuke. And oh, and see Stephen, filled with God's Spirit, open His mouth. See. She, what does she do? She standeth in the top of high places. Oh, look at that balance. And not only that, by the way, it says the elderly at a certain point in their life are afraid of high places and they're afraid of the way. Now, that's wise to some degree. For us, though, when you're walking spiritually, we are never to grow cold with the Lord. And we're to stand in the top of high places. What does that mean? By the way, in the places of the past. It means that those that are filled with God's Spirit are going to have boldness to stand in public places where everybody can see them. And they're going to boldly proclaim what they believe. And they're going to talk about Jesus and proclaim the way and the truth of our Lord Jesus and the Holy Word of God. And they're going to stand and they will not be silent. They're going to stand and not be silent. What the Bible says? What the Bible says? There's going to be few. When you see the sun turn to darkness, when you see the sun and moon turn to darkness, you're not going to see any backbone. You're not going to see spiritual vision. They're not going to be listening to God's Word. And they're not going to have any backbone. They're not going to have any teeth. Everything's going to be weak and powerless. And then they're going to be afraid of high places. Don't you want to say something? Look what they're doing. They're blaspheming. They're not only blaspheming. This is so disgusting and sick. It's beyond anything you can even mention. Pop music has become so disgusting and sick. You can't even expose it. It's so disgusting and sick. They basically, culture after generation after generation, it says, how can I be more shocking than the former generation? There's no end to what they're going to try to do. I can't even mention it. I don't want to. Don't even look at it and study it. It's so disgusting. But can even now you're going to be silent? Even now? What do they got to do to kids? What do they got to lead kids to do to get you to open your mouth and say, this is wrong? You know, if there's nobody standing in high places and in the public way and telling people that things are wrong, if there's nobody reproving in the gate, that means there's no wisdom. And if there's no wisdom, it means there's no balance. These people can't balance enough to get in the high place and stand.
Man.
It says in Proverbs 9, wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewn out her seven pillars. These are the foundations of wisdom. She has sent forth her maidens. She crieth upon the highest places of the city. It means wherever you see a godly Christian who's filled with God's Spirit, he's going to be telling people about the Lord. He's not going to be a sissy about it. He's not going to be a chicken about it. I'll tell you what, they're going to know what he believes. They're going to know what she believes. Amen. All the other Christians can turn their head and say, well, that's not my way. I'm sure it's not your way. And they can say, well, I don't do it like that. Well, I guess you don't. The Bible prophesied it'd be like you in the last days. Uh-oh. Wait a minute now. There is a imitation, a counterfeit. Proverbs 9, a foolish woman. Here comes the foolish church. Here comes the foolish false prophets. A foolish woman is clamorous. That means loud. She is simple and knoweth nothing. Wisdom opens her mouth, but she says something with wisdom. She opens her mouth, and it's just a bunch of railing and scorning. Now notice, for she sitteth at the door of her house, and on a seat in the high places of the city, to call passengers who go right on their way. So her goal, as wisdom is saying, hey, turn from your wickedness. Turn from your foolishness. Believe on the Lord Jesus and obey Him. You Christians, obey the Lord. There's a judgment seat of Christ coming. The foolish woman is over there. She's seated in the high place. She's not standing. She's seated. And she says, you know what? Don't listen to wisdom. Don't listen to that. That's legalism.
Don't listen to that. You need to just be free. Live as you please. What does it mean, Church of God, that she is seated? That she's seated in the high places? That appears to me to be saying that the world, or the powers that be, the devils that are in high places, have enshrined their fools, so they are seated in a systematic, authorized propaganda. It may be right from the streets, but they're taking the sewer from the streets, and they are authorizing it and financing it in the public airway. She's seated in her house, but somehow or another her wisdom is spewing out in the high places. See, she has the forum, the digital forum. She has the airwaves. You understand? She hadn't been banned on Facebook. She hadn't been censored on YouTube. See what? She's seated in the high places. This is saying in the last days there's going to be an agenda, a package finance agenda for foolishness to be broadcast into the TVs and cell phones and computers of the world. But it means that God's people that have some backbone and some grit and some balance need to stand up and in whatever way you can get out in the open and be vocal. And God says you can do it. And he will give you the power to do it. He used 12 men to transform the whole Roman Empire and the whole world. You tell me that God can't use us in the last days to stand up and broadcast his truth? Wisdom is too high for a fool. He openeth not his mouth in the gate.
Oh, I can't get up there. I don't know what I believe.
Why are you afraid to believe what God said, man? Why are you afraid to believe that said he that lieth with another man, it's an abomination? Why are you afraid to say that he that weareth that which pertains to a woman, the abomination? Why are you afraid to say what God says?
I don't know about that. Oh.
It's too high for you, isn't it? It's too high for you to say the simple, plain truths of the Word of God. No, it's not too high. You're just a coward.
Is it?
Because there's a price to pay for saying things. As one preacher told me, did you see how I got this building? How I got this pickup truck? How I got everything here? How I got doctors and lawyers and scientists coming to my church? You just got to change your preaching, man. You change your preaching. They'll flock. And you have the dough. I believe God can give us the money. Amen. Amen. God can take care of us. He always has. Always will. What did our Lord say? What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in the light. What you hear in the ear, just keep it to yourself. God forbid. That preach you from the what? I'm afraid to get up there. I don't want to climb up there. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. What's the Lord's antidote to your fear of man? He says, I can hurt you a lot worse than they can. So they can just hurt your body. So the Lord Jesus wants you to get out here and preach. And if he has to put some fire under your bottom, he'll do it. So whatever the Lord has to do. He's got holy ways to motivate you. Bible says you're going to be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way. Fears. Fear of man. Fear of persecution. Fear of being mocked. Fear of not being cool. Fear of being laughed at. I got a lot more to say. I hope nobody falls asleep now. I was born on a Sunday. While people were in church at 10:30 a.m., my mom's in church here. Praise God for my mom. You should have been in church. No, I'm just kidding. She had me at 10:30 in the hospital.
on a Sunday.
Sadly, the Church of Satan was born that year.
And just about every other bad thing in our culture today.
But while many were in church, one day, just for fun, I said, I wonder what the radio was playing when I was born.
Now, the younger you are, the worse it's going to be for you. You know, because it just gets bad, worse and worse and worse. Whatever the number one song is, just gets worse and worse and worse.
But I decided to see, at 10:30 on a Sunday, on the day that I was born, what was playing on the radio as the number one song. Well, there was a number one song that was played. And it had become number one, not only in America, but all over the world. Country after country after country. It was a song by Paul Simon of a group, a duo called Simon and Garfunkel. It was written a few years before, but the day I was born, it surpassed the Beatles as the number one song throughout the world. The song was The Sound of Silence. Now, I don't know exactly what he wanted people to open their mouth about. I can only imagine, as a hippie right in the middle of the... But maybe he had some understanding and saw some things that he might even be today afraid to admit what he was writing about. But one thing we know he was writing about is he said, all we hear is the sound of silence and nobody will open their mouth. And people need to quit being silent. They need to quit being silent. And me and Paul Simon may not agree on what we need to open our mouth about. But we can agree on one thing. The sound of silence is not right. It's not right. Here's some of the song. It says, in restless dreams I walked along narrow streets of cobblestone, neath the halo of a street lamp. I turned my collar to the cold and damp, when my eyes were stabbed by the flash of a neon light that split the night and touched the sound of silence. And in the naked light, I saw 10,000 people, maybe more. People talking without speaking. People hearing without listening. People writing songs that voices never share because no one dared disturb the sound of silence. So he says, that everybody's speaking, but they're not saying anything. People are afraid to speak. And that there is this mandated silence that you dare not disturb. I don't know what he wanted everybody to talk about in the early 60s. He wrote the song before I was born. But it is true that there is a mandated silence. And you see a whole lot of people, thousands and thousands, and everybody's silent. So what does he say? Fool, said I, you do not know. Silence like a cancer grows. Hear my words that I might teach you. Take my arms that I might reach you. But my words like silent raindrops fell and echoed in the wells of silence. You try to get people to speak up. I think most of my Christian ministry has been trying to get boldness from the Spirit of God for people to stand up and not be silent. But it seems that the Bible says in the last days, Jeremiah 6 and elsewhere, that God will send folks. God will send his preachers to try to motivate you. But a terrible verse. It says they're gonna call you to the old paths and try to wake you up. But a very frightening verse. It says, but they would not. They would not. Praise God, that's not an absolute they would not. Praise God for that. But the Bible's saying the majority will not hear. They'll continue on in their mandated silence. Fools!
Well, and the people bowed and prayed to the neon god that they made. And the sign flashed out its warning in the words that it was forming. And the sign said, the words of the prophets are written on the subway walls and the tenement, that means the ghetto halls, and whispered in the sounds of silence. What does he mean? Who knows? But I believe that he's definitely saying silence is not a good thing, and people are unable and often afraid to communicate, and they're worshiping a neon god. Whatever he meant in the 60s, maybe he was just noticing consumerism with its advertising propaganda. That had been going on since the 1920s. Powerful. Propaganda says we can make people do whatever we want to do. Just watch us. Edward Bernays. His book was titled Propaganda. Not only did you have advertising propaganda, but they had control of the three television stations that were there at the time. Talk about propaganda. It was blinding people, silencing people, controlling people. Consumerism. The TV had become a god with its blue light. Just like the computer screen god today. The cell phone light god. You say, I use a cell phone. What way do you use it? We can use money, but not worship it, right? But when things have control over you, when it's hindering your relationship with God, it becomes a devil. When it hinders your family and the growth in Christ, when these things take your mind away and your health away and get rid of your family fellowship, then they become idols.
Right.
And what we have is a generation that doesn't communicate anymore. They don't communicate around the family dinner table because they don't have a family dinner table anymore. They don't have family devotions anymore. Because the father's looking at his computer screen or the cell phone. And the son and the daughter are looking at their computer screen or the computer game or their cell phone. And if they go out to eat, they're looking at their cell phone. And everybody else in the restaurant is. Nobody's talking. Everybody's silent. Whatever he saw in the 60s is on steroids now. And now you've got COVID. People walking around with a mask. Not only do they have their cell phone, but they have a mask. And they're telling you. The Atlantic magazine came out and said clearly, mask up and shut up. COVID-19 transmission would go down if you would just speak less and less loudly. Mask up and shut up. Get away from your family members. Can't have Thanksgiving with them. Get away from everybody because of COVID. So therefore, don't talk. Mask up. Hide your mouth. What is the neon god? Consumerism, propaganda, TV, big tech. Big brother, they've all become the neon gods of this day. I believe he was dealing with materialism versus spiritual vision. We may not agree upon what spiritual vision we ought to have, but he at least saw that materialism was blinding everybody. You got to come out of things. The Lord says your life doesn't consist in whatever you possess. You understand? You got to understand life is more than your possessions. Life isn't just about surviving. We talk about surviving off-grid, that type of thing. I don't want to just survive. Anybody can figure out how to survive. I want to live, amen?
Right.
I want to live more abundantly. I want to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, do something for Him while we have the opportunity, while we have the breath. Surviving is a key to that, but God can take care of us. It says in Psalms in the days of famine. It says He will strengthen His people and feed them in the days of famine. We can trust our Lord. It doesn't mean we're not going to prepare, but it just means let's trust God, get out of here and do what's right for God. He ends it all by saying the words of the prophets. He shows this neon sign and everybody bowing down and worshiping the sign. And then all of a sudden the sign begins to put forth words that say
the words of the prophets are written. In the subway walls, the ghetto halls, the welfare apartment houses. What's he mean by that? I don't know. And I wonder if today he'd be even bold enough to admit what he meant back then. Some say what he meant was it was a good thing. He says, well, you got all this consumerism, but if you want to find the real truth, you need to look at the graffiti that's written over the walls of the inner city. Okay, but then why did he say everybody's bowing down to a neon god? And that neon god began to spew forth, listen to the prophets. The prophets that are in the inner city subway walls and ghetto halls, etc. I don't know what he meant, but I'll tell you one thing. The powers that be have taken whatever is the most debased, whatever is the most broken because of a lack of fathers, because of a lack of family. And they have taken a pimp and prostitute culture. I'm not saying that it's black culture, Spanish culture, white culture. I'm saying it's broken culture. It's pagan culture. I don't care what race you are. It's a broken culture. Do you understand that? It's a jungle broken culture that they developed by years and years of welfare, pumping money to keep the system like that. So you end up with a drug, pimp, and prostitute culture. And whatever he meant, I'm going to tell you something true right now. That there's people afraid to expose this wicked sewer culture today. They're afraid to open their mouth and say, pull up your britches. Quit having children out of wedlock. Let's get marriage back. Let's get the family back as a foundation. They're afraid to say these things. They're afraid. I don't know what Simon meant, but I'm going to tell you something. When that neon god begins to spew forth its digital teaching, it's saying, listen to the ghetto. Listen to the pimps. Listen to the prostitutes. And right now, a controlled multi-billion dollar agenda is financing the sewer of degraded culture of whatever color that they have financed and created in America, and they are now spewing that culture into the living rooms of your children if you allow them to get a hold of it. Whether it's sports stars or computer games or wicked rap music, whatever abomination that they can spew forth. Behold your prophets! Behold the Bible for your children! American Christian kids, many of them Baptists, are not growing up with these prophets. They're growing up with graffiti prophets. With ghetto prophets. That are spewing forth rape and kill and murder and trash your body and fornicate and live in sewer. And if you ask them, how can you do that? They say, it's just art. I'm making money, man. Yeah, they'll give you a little bit of money. They'll give you a lot of money to be a prophet of cool. So you can tell all the little Christian kids what cool is. Can you go to Walmart and find anything that doesn't make a little girl look like a whore? Maybe a few things. Not much. Where's this stuff come from? What's going on with the music today? But everybody's quiet. Why won't anybody say anything? Because you get canceled. You get canceled. We better not have any skeletons in your closet. Bill Cosby tried to open his mouth and say, maybe you should dress right and act right. He got canceled, folks. And if he's guilty, then he deserves to pay the crime. But I'm just telling you, anybody that opens their mouth, they're coming after you, folks. They're going to call you every name. I tell you what, you will be scorned and hated if you dare oppose that wicked loop culture. You know why? Because they're using it to break down the family. Because if the family's broken, then you want big government, and big government can now be your mom and daddy. You understand that? They're about to give another stimulus payment so you can have your little paycheck from Big Mama. And I'm telling you, they want you to live and nurse off of Big Mama and you to basically have the government as your family unit and not your church. Unless your church is a corporate church that preaches what they want you to preach. Am I making sense to anybody?
Yeah.
Fatherless children. Filthy, raunchy living. The glorification of sin. All you're dealing with is the worship of Baal, the worship of Dionysus, the worship of Tammuz that Bible warned us about. Now you got boogeymen. You got boogeymen that are out there that'll keep you from speaking out. He said, why won't you speak out against that? Why won't you join? We went into the an Arlington Ministers Alliance. And I met with a bunch of preachers and they were, you know the story. They were all sitting over here crying and weeping and saying, we've been praying for weeks and weeks for God to show us something to do. And we walked into the Ministerial Alliance meeting and we said, preachers, I want y'all to stand with us at Ranger Stadium to protest the homosexual culture. I'm not even into baseball, but I do know a lot of families go there and they watch the baseball game. And you ought not have a gay day, a sodomite day at this Ranger Stadium. And preacher after preacher began to bow their head, not to pray, but so I wouldn't see their eyes. And I began to say, I can't do that. So what do you mean you can't do that? I can't go there and speak against that. My reputation. I'd lose my people. I stood in front of an abortion clinic and said, y'all should not kill little babies. You got to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. You ought not butcher your baby today. An old man looked at me. He says, you better be careful, preacher. I said, why? He said, you'll lose your church. What are you talking about? He says, anybody that gets out here and does that, they'll lose their church. Man, I tell you. It's the truth today, folks. Most of these preachers would lose their church. But most of them need to be gone anyway. Well, they get mad, I say that. But you don't love people. No, I do love people. But I tell you what, leaven's the whole lump. If they're all going to walk out and leave, that's sad. Cry about them, weep after them, beg them not to. But God will fill you up with people that will be bold, that will be willing to stand out here in the gap and get in the way and do what needs to be done. I just don't want us to be silent, folks. I don't want us to be silent anywhere you go. Whether it's in a formal soul-winning time or whether it's your individual time, wherever you go, don't be silent on the internet. Don't be silent in your family. Don't be silent anywhere. Use wisdom, speak the truth in love, but we need to quit this silence. So what are the boogeymans? Here comes the boogeyman number one. You're a legalist and a Pharisee. Well, you're a Sadducee. I don't want to be no Pharisee. But the Bible said the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Whatever they command you do, they were the conservative ones. I don't want to be no Pharisee. I'm a Christian. I'm a follower of Christ. I believe in salvation by grace through faith alone. Pharisees didn't believe in Jesus. Some did, but they were afraid to say it, maybe. At least the chief rulers. Hey, don't be afraid of that legalist word. Don't be afraid of somebody calling you a Pharisee. Wait till you see what wicked sins are in their closet. Amen. Wait till you do. Don't be afraid of that. That's just a word. You're an old fuddy-duddy. I don't know if they'll call you a fuddy-duddy, but the point is this. They're saying you're old-fashioned. And why don't you get hip and cool and get with the changes? Why don't you roll with the changes, as they said in the 60s? You know. Well, if you can survive those two, they got a big one.
And you need to deal with it, Church of God. They're going to say you're a racist. I like the old word better, prejudice. Because the Bible says you shouldn't be prejudiced. You understand that? But see, when you keep and hold fast the form of sound words, it helps people understand what you mean. I don't want to prejudge anybody. I don't want to have a rash judgment and judgment that doesn't is not of God. But when you start using these words and you invent these new words, and then people get afraid of the word. So, okay, well, let me get this straight. If I say this music's disgusting, whether it's heavy metal or whether it's rap or whatever, I'm a racist. Really? If I say you ought not dress in such a wicked way, like a prostitute or a pimp, I'm a racist. No, somebody lied to you. That's not Hispanic culture. It might be now. It's not godly Hispanic culture. It's not godly white culture. It's not godly black culture. And I will remind you that when they started playing those wicked, wicked songs in the churches that came from the clubs, the black churches of Chicago said, you need to take this trash out of here. So we have allowed people with money, with an agenda, a communist agenda, to destroy our country. And everybody's afraid to expose sin, because they'll give you a label. And I'm telling you, no matter what color you are, we don't need to recognize it. Well, whatever, how tall you are, how short you are, what color your eyes are, we need to stand up and start exposing sin. And don't be afraid of people calling you a name. Don't be afraid of people calling you a name. In fact, here's the cell phone, God. There it is. The golden cell phone. It used to be a golden calf. Now it's a golden cell phone. Oh, here's this fella. Maybe he has a Bible software, but he's laughing. Now, he's probably on Facebook. Man, I tell you. Preacher's trying to get to him, but he's got a joke going on, doesn't he? Man, oh man, there he is. Oh, there's the TV God. There's the TV God. That's how they're raising children today, computers and TV and worship what's on there. Whatever they tell you is the Bible. That's more important than anything. There's a very, very smart fellow, a black man named Dr. Shelby Steele. He sees what's going on today and he says, we make a religion out of racism. It's a hustle, a manipulation. He says, liberalism is the new oppressor, the real oppressor. We need those old-fashioned traditional values, the institution of marriage as the centerpiece. But liberalism destroyed the institution of the family. It destroyed the public schools. It destroyed the housing. Basically, he's saying it wasn't racist that did that to you. It was welfare money that basically continued with an agenda to destroy the nation. Oh, man. You better look up Shelby Steele. He has a lot of good things to say. He produced a documentary, What Killed Michael Brown? He's basically saying guilt manipulation isn't good for anybody in the long run. Like Booker T. Washington, he decries victimhood. He decries playing the victim. And whether you're man, woman, child, whatever color, race, whatever you are, we're Christian. Made of one blood, but I'm going to tell you this. You better get rid of that self-pity victimhood. The Lord wouldn't put up with it. When Peter tried to have self-pity for all the things he lost, the Lord said, you're getting paid for what you're doing. You get 100-fold now in this world and in the world to come. So anybody that serves me and follows me and has lost anything, you get 100-fold return. No self-pity with the Lord, you see. Self-pity will destroy your manhood. It will destroy your family. It will destroy everything. You make excuses and blame others for your problem. That is the way to defeat. And basically, he understands this. And he said, all this is defeatism. It's playing the victim and letting others sell it to you. He warns against it. So now we got rapper Satan shoes. I mean, what in the world is coming out next? I don't even want to know.
I'm closing, and it says Summit News, British former Supreme Court Judge Lord Sumption has warned that social controls brought about by the coronavirus pandemic may be kept in place by governments for up to a decade. It's politically unrealistic to expect the government to backtrack now. They hardly ever go back, do they? Once they get power, they hardly ever decrease it. He has been highly critical of the government's totalitarian lockdown policy. They might lighten up a little bit, but it's going to come back. It's going to come back. Scary. How the pandemic has made us less human. In a profound and beautifully written essay, Mary Harrington says COVID has gnawed away social bonds, creating an impersonal and soulless new normal that must be rejected. I'd say the new normal was already here, and it was soulless because it was staring at a computer screen or a TV screen or a cell phone. Wow. Your fear. You're afraid of being called a name. You're afraid of not being seen as cool. You're afraid of being canceled. You're afraid of the blowback. Watchman E says many of you are silent because you don't want anybody looking at your life. You don't want to go tell somebody they're wrong about something because you know they're going to look at your life and say, well, what about this? And you don't want to clean your life up. So you kind of make a little deal. I'll scratch your back, you scratch mine. I'll be quiet about your sin, and you don't say anything about my sin. That's not what the Lord said. The Lord said, cast away that beam that's in your eye so you can see to get the mote out your brother's. He said he still wanted you to get the speck out your brother's eye. Now they say, unity at all costs. Peace at all costs. Love, unity, and peace. As long as we have love, unity, and peace, we can let anything go. We don't have to say nothing. No, the Bible said first purity, then peace. I close with just a few verses for you. Just a few verses. 2 Timothy 3. Just know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. That's the day you live in. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemous, disobedient parents, unfaithful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, they can't control themselves, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors. There they are, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. What does it matter if you know something if you're not going to go tell anybody? How is this good for anybody else if you know it, but you're not going to give it to nobody else? Let the Holy Ghost fill you full of His Spirit, of boldness, and go preach. From such turn away, from such turn away. You got to separate from these folks. You got to separate to some degree. For of this sort of they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, that's that foolish woman seated in her house. This is the creeping in with her neon gods, LED gods, whatever. Amos 5 says, they hate him that rebuketh them to gain. They abhor him that speaketh uprightly. And it sure is the truth today. They abhor him that speaketh uprightly. And if you get in the gate, oh my, you will be hated. You will be hated. Matthew 24, then shall many be offended. That means that many say, you know what, I'm mad at God. He shouldn't make it so hard for me to live holy. People are mad at me and they're persecuting me, so I'm mad at God, so I'm going to quit shining my light. You got offended, didn't you? And they shall betray one another, because once you stop shining for God, you're going to start shining for the devil. If you're not going to be an evangelist for God, you'll be one for the devil. And they shall hate one another, and many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. Jesus says, now the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father the son, and the children shall rise up against their parents and shall cause them to be put to death. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. That's why people are quiet. That's why you're quiet. That's why you're quiet. Daniel 12 says, they that be wise in these days shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Just like those stars are signs and seasons, the Bible's telling you that you'll be a star like this if you turn many to righteousness. Praise God that He has some in the last days that are going to turn many to righteousness. They're not going to be silent. Praise God for that. Boy, you want to be of that number right there, whether it's now or in the coming tribulation period. Jesus said in Matthew 5, you're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick,
And it gives light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men. Amen. What I tell you in secret, preach upon housetops. That means whatever you hear, even though we're not secret, we're broadcasting online. Whatever you hear, you go out and preach. Tell everybody. Mark 8, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. You say, I don't want to get out here and preach for the Lord Jesus and let my light shine. I'm ashamed. The Lord despised the shame. Really? You're ashamed to be a godly Christian with somebody with blue hair that goes up into a mohawk and piercings all over. Hey, love that fella. But you're ashamed before him? Really? Why? You gotta be more concerned about being ashamed when the Lord brings all them tens of thousands of angels. And he looks at you and says, well, I gave you a lot. What'd you do with it? Here, God, here's what you gave me. Here's your Bible. Here's the truth you gave me. The Bible says he's going to say, thou wicked, slothful, and profitable servant is going to cast him into outer darkness. I don't believe in the loss of salvation, but I believe you can get in a lot of trouble with the Lord Jesus Christ if you don't get out here and be public and let your light shine. Dear Holy Father, we thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for your goodness, Father. Oh, Lord, I believe you hate the sound of silence in this sense. I believe you hate the fact that many, so many of your people are just allowing the culture, the nation, to be turned into hell. And not just the unbelievers, but the churches, those that profess Christ. We are living in the day of silence, Lord. And now it's mandated silence. And we're more and more, as I said years ago, the closing door of liberty. Father, the door is closing, but you called us to preach nonetheless. It's getting harder and harder to shine our light, Lord. But I pray, Father, that we will speak the truth in love, that we will know when and when not to say something. But, Father, that you will help us defend your truth, contend against the wicked. And I know, Lord, we're contending against the devil and his agenda. And we're dealing with a one world order agenda to bring down this nation. And they're not playing games, Lord. But may we get in their way. May we be in the way of Satan and the Antichrist spirit. And may we shine. Thank you for this church, our dear friends. May we be loving in your way. In Jesus' name, amen.